Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander, Ed Engineering Today's show. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this first Monday of the new year, Monday, January 5th, 2015. Today also marks the beginning of our fifth year of the Buckmaster Show. 4 years now under our belts and in the archive of all of our shows. All of them are at buckmastershow.com. Of course, we're coming to you live Monday through Friday right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And we have the podcasts and the complete show archive. That's available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. During the noon hour today, we'll begin with the Monday political face-off, followed at 12:30 by our monthly conversation with former U.S. Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham, the Buckmaster contributor on foreign affairs and the military. And certainly as we begin this 2015, there is no shortage of foreign affairs hotspots that we should be concerned with. And General Wickham will be articulating what those are exactly for us, the challenges we are facing in 2015 in the area of foreign affairs. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, it's open for you at 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. The Monday Political Face-Off features today John Munger, Tucson attorney, former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor. And Vince Robigo is with us, also a Tucson attorney, longtime Democrat Party activist, former Arizona Attorney General candidate, also in 2010. Vince is also very active in the Democrat Party of Pima County. He is the chair of the Hispanic Caucus. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Vince and John, how are you gentlemen, and how was the Christmas and New Year's?
It was terrific, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to both you gentlemen, and we are very excited to launch into another year of the Buckmaster Show.
Can't believe it. Five years marks today, right?
Well, Bill? 4 years now. Four years. So
congratulations,
thank
Bill.
You very much. So we begin the fifth year.
Oh, that's
today.
Terrific.
Right
terrific.
Here. We also begin with a new governor as of about, I think it was about an hour ago, was the swearing-in ceremony for Doug Ducey, taking the oath of office as Arizona's 23rd governor. And it represents the passing of the torch to a new generation. Mr. Ducey, a Republican and former CEO of the Cold Stone Creamery ice cream chain, has promised to bring a business-like approach to state government. Unfortunately, Vince and John, the new governor will be facing many of the same old challenges. Vince?
That's right. Biggest issues are going to be the budget and funding and education. Those are the big ones right on the hot plate.
And there are no, the pledge, John Munger, from Mr. Ducey, the now governor, no new taxes.
That's right.
We so do how not do we need... do it without taxes?
Well, Bill, we have plenty of money. The state's spending goes up virtually every year. People need to keep in mind that there's plenty of money in the budget. The question is, how do you keep up with all the demands that everybody keeps making on the spending? And you got to recognize the amount of spending is not going down. The amount of state revenues continues to rise. The amount of spending continues to rise. And we've got to have some balance. Too many people think that state revenues are going down and that state spending is going down, and therefore we need new taxes. That's not the case. The revenues are up, but the spending demands are more than even these increased revenues. We have to have some balance. We have to make some decisions, and that's what Doug Ducey's talking about doing, is actually making decisions.
What do you think, Vince?
I couldn't disagree more, because if you look at Arizona's population since 1990. The spending has tripled. So I will agree with John that it has gone up. But guess what else has gone up?
What?
Our population has gone up about 80%. In 1990, our population was about 3.6 million people in the state of Arizona. As of this past year, by 2014, it was 6.7 million people. So people can talk all they want about numbers in the abstract, say, oh, spending's gone up. You know what? Our population has gone up 80%. That means 80% more people using the roads, using public services, using public education, calling 911 if they need the police, all of that infrastructure. Has, you know, needs to keep pace with that, and it's as if, you know, we don't live in a ghost town. We've gone up 80% since 1990. The other thing I disagree with John about is he says that it just keeps going up, and it's just the spending that doesn't match it. Actually, even with Jan Brewer's own budget from 2014, the projected revenue did not match that budget. Actually, it underperformed at about 3.1%, which she had expected, and she was hoping for 4.1%. That was the basis for planning that budget. So our revenues did not meet what even our outgoing governor had projected. So at the end of the day, we cannot look at things in an abstract. We have to look at facts. So I think Governor Ducey's big job is going to have to be reality-based governing, not ideological-based governing.
Let me go back to your own numbers, Vince. You've said that spending has increased by three times since 1990. That's a 300% increase in spending. The population's only grown 80%. So we are far exceeding population growth in our spending in this state. 300% increased spending to only 80% growth in population. We are spending far more than our population growth percentage-wise in terms of increasing our spending. We've just got to make some decisions, Vince. And the difference between the conservative approach and the liberal approach is you folks on the liberal side don't want to make any choices.
That's baloney.
Well, I got to tell
you. You don't like the choices we want to make, but that's not the same thing as saying we don't want to make choices.
That is just ad hominem attack, John.
You may not like the choices we're offering, but that doesn't mean we're not offering choices.
Well, the choices you're offering are always to tax more and to spend more.
Baloney.
I'll
give you some examples. You want me to give you some examples?
Let me finish, Vince.
Okay, go ahead, and then I'll give you some examples.
You can give me individual examples, but overall— when you say that the population has grown by 80% as an excuse for more spending, but spending has already increased 300%, it just doesn't make sense to tax more. There are revenues and there is increased spending. You just can't do everything that everybody wants to do, and you have to make some choices. Now, I'll grant you that you don't want to spend certain monies one place, and we want to spend monies another place. But the last thing we need, and we need to make those choices, I'll agree with you. But the last thing we need is more new taxes. There's plenty of money. We just need to make some decisions about where we're going to spend that money.
Vince, now you are up to the plate. You said you wanted to give some specific examples.
Let's talk about some specific examples. Mm-hmm. Okay, where are you going to make choices? The corporate tax breaks that have been delayed and intentionally delayed because our state's economy had not yet recovered, and they're set to go into effect, I think, by 2000. They start, I believe, this year, and by 2017 they will be fully phased in. We need to stop that, because if you're bleeding, the last thing you do is keep bleeding, and all that's going to do is reduce additional revenues. Now, see, I fundamentally disagree with what John is saying. Now, on the other hand, for example, let's talk about prison growth and how much money that piece of the pie is. And that has just grown and grown with policies that are essentially one shoe size fits all. mandatory sentencing that does, should not be across the board for everybody. Now, for the hardened, you know, most dangerous, that's not an issue. I certainly agree with bringing down the hammer. But when you're talking about policy that diverts our funds where our educational system is lagging, and the courts have ruled that the GOP legislature has illegally cut funding to the tune of I don't know what the billion, you know, more than $1 billion of funds, and yet they want to keep fighting it and using state resources to fight it. We could redirect funds from policies that change handing out money to private prison corporations, which have not been proved to be as safe or as economical as public prisons, reduce some of the laws that don't need to bring the hammer down on low-level offenders and use probation and rehabilitation programs more effectively, and redivert those funds to education and to infrastructure. Our infrastructure is failing. So those are some choices right there.
Yeah, Vince, I don't dispute that we need to make those choices. But that's different than saying there isn't enough money.
Well, it's also different than what you started with, John.
Please let me finish.
Well, you said we had no choices.
Vince, please
let
me.
I'm giving you choices.
Okay. You gave a few examples.
You gave me a few examples, and I grant that those are legitimate choices we have to make. But you started out by saying we didn't need to make choices. We need to increase taxes. And what I'm saying is,
when did I say that?
That was your first statement. We need to increase taxes.
I never, don't you? Yes. You may be dreaming. I never said that.
And I'm not sure if he said about taxes.
In your mind. You accused quote unquote liberals.
I'm
of
all for making
philosophy.
Choices. Okay. But Vince's point was, we haven't got enough money. And my point is, there's plenty of money. And we need to make choices. Amongst those are the choices, Vince, that you've described. But the last thing we need to do is be increasing taxes. That was the predicate, the premise of your question, Bill.
Yes, about taxes.
About taxes.
Can we take care of this huge budget deficit?
Yes, we have to. There's plenty of money. We just have to make some tough
taxes.
Choices.
We're going to continue with this discussion on the Monday Political Face-Off. And Vince, you'll be first when we resume the Monday Political Face-Off on The Buckmaster Show, back right after this.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery, featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Master Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. If you would like to join in the conversation with Vince Robigo and John Munger, 790-2040. We are being presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe sponsors the Monday Political Face-Off each Monday, and we thank Moe for his support. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course on Facebook. Our discussion centers around the governor and the tough choices that he will have to make. I think we'll probably...
And the legislature.
And the legislature. That's right, John. And Vince, I said before the break that you would be... It would be your turn to speak about this. And getting back to my fundamental question, where do you cut to make up for maybe $1.5 billion of red ink?
Well, I know what the legislature and apparently the governor-elect wants to cut, and they want to cut the constitutionally mandated education bill that they've been sent through the court system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I believe that's wrong-headed. And the only way you're going to get out of this mess is realize that, you know, you can't dig yourself more out of a hole. We had tremendous budget cuts. This is like sounding like a rerun, what I'm hearing from the GOP side, from folks like John, as to what happened with the recession. When the recession hit, what was the mantra with Governor Brewer? It was, we have to make these cuts. All these folks in Phoenix, Kavanaugh, all these others, we have to cut education. Education has been cut by over $1 billion. I think it was 15% already. And now we find out that they also, not only was that budget cut, for example, they've illegally underfunded our children. And they want to keep fighting that battle, not funding our schools. To bring jobs, which is going to bring revenues, because essentially, you know, it's population-based revenues through people coming here and new businesses. If that's basically what our revenues haven't gone up, because that has not grown. We need new jobs, but we're not going to do it if you have the GOP-controlled government in Arizona continue to attack our education. We need to be able to show to new businesses across this country that we will have a workforce, that we value educating that workforce for those new businesses. But when businesses see what we're doing to our educational system, and the fact that we keep fighting that the legislature keeps fighting to have a good educational system, they don't want to come here. And you haven't seen, even with these tax cuts that haven't gotten into effect, which should be delayed for corporate tax rates, just out of responsibility. You know, like if you don't have enough money in your house, you certainly don't keep.
Delay those.
You got to delay those at a minimum. You have to adjust spending. I don't disagree with John. There has to be some adjustment in spending, mm-hmm. but it can't be just one ideological no new taxes mantra ever. For example, if we don't phase in those corporate tax cuts, John's going to call that a tax increase, even though it hasn't happened yet. We need some reality-based governing. We need to dip into the rainy day fund to pay the obligations for our schools. And then we need to look at big budget pieces of the pie like prison reform, getting rid of these private prison industries that essentially we have to pay them whether the beds are full or not.
John, what do you think? What do you?
Well, I agree. We have to make those kinds of decisions. Okay. My point was, there is plenty of money to make those kinds, all the decisions that Vince is talking about.
So you say there's plenty of money out there.
There's plenty of money out there. We just need to make the tough decisions. And I guarantee you, when those decisions are made, Vince is not going to like those decisions no matter what they are, almost, unless they're everything he wants. So the problem is there's plenty of money. Spending has increased triple since 1990, as according to Vince's own calculations. Population's only increased by 80% compared to 300% increase in spending. There's plenty of money. We don't need new taxes. Yes, we need to make some decisions about education, all these things that Vince lays out. But let's remember, the legislature and the governor were elected by the state of Arizona. All the people in the state of Arizona elected those people. I get a kick out of the Democrats saying, well, these people are just a bunch of wackos, or that's the implication. These are people that were elected by the people of the state of Arizona. The majority of the people of the state of Arizona want those policies. Now, Vince may disagree with them, but that doesn't make the legislature a bunch of wackos. And so what we need to do is simply make some decisions within our means like every other household would make.
The last thing we need to do is be another Kansas, where they are trying to get rid of all taxes, that sort of philosophy.
Nobody's doing that here. But that's been the push. Nobody suggested that.
Oh, give me a break. You know, the reality
is... I haven't suggested that.
Well, I'm not talking... You're not elected. I'm talking about those people you're so heavily defending in the state legislature. There are plenty that want to do
there,
that. Exactly.
That is not on
and the reality
agenda
is,
nor anybody else's.
The reality is even with...
Ducey's
is not a straw man. That's happening in other states because
of an ideology.
We have one of the most conservative legislatures in the country. Do you agree with that, John?
Yes.
Okay. It is not a far leap to say that that's right around the corner and that we have to be very cautious.
You're saying that's coming.
It could be coming, and we need to watch out for that. And
I will speak out.
Anytime, any place, because what the last thing you want to do is keep beating your head against the wall, because if it doesn't produce the results you want, but that's what they want to keep doing with this no new taxes
mantra.
You're
talking about something that doesn't even exist.
Oh, yeah, right. So let's give you another example. Another example of where there's essentially money just flying out the door irresponsibly, like the tax tuition credit program. Now, and I'm not alone in calling for that to be revisited. And for example, the Arizona Republic in an editorial was talking about how do we keep Arizona on the rails? It's already essentially going to be off with this deficit. But their proposals, number one at the top of the list, education funding, and that the legislature and the governor should fully fund that obligation that where it's been found that they have illegally cut funding education. Second, one of the examples in that also is that we need to look at that tuition tax credit program, because there are legislators in our state legislature who benefit directly financially from this money that goes out through running through these state tuition tax organization programs. Now, if that is not a slap in the face to all taxpayers, to have a few select individuals that are profiting immensely through these tuition tax credit programs, and if the Republican Party cannot own up to it and say, hey, if they truly have principles, I encourage you, John, to call those your friends of yours up there in the legislature and say, you know what, we've had it with this tuition tax graft.
Hold on one sec. A caller wonders, what besides education can the lawmakers cut?
Well, there are a lot of things that could be cut. Vince has mentioned one. The correctional system, I think, is completely out of whack. And we spend huge amounts of money on the correctional system.
Okay.
That's just one of many. I think we have far too many state regulatory agencies. For God's sake, we have regulatory agencies with fully paid staff to regulate such things as barbers and everything else on God's green earth. And we could go through the overregulation in this state and cut out agency after agency after agency and cut. They regulate virtually everything in this state is regulated by paid staff.
All right. We're out of time, but Doug has been waiting. See if we can work Doug in here real quickly. Doug, I've got about 10 seconds. Go ahead. Hello, Doug. Doug, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Couple quick things, you know.
Real quick.
Okay. The straw man Vince put up, I think, is unfair. You know, when it's not proposed, let's not talk about it. But prison reform is something we could do, and I would ask you to look at what Chuck Colson proposed. I think it's a great solution and restorative justice.
Okay. Doug, thank you very much. I believe that was Doug Martin, the owner of this fine radio station. Comments, guys, real quickly?
Well, I think that there are a lot of decisions to be made. And we can. This state has plenty of money. We need to make tough decisions. And the people in this state need to recognize that the legislature is going to make decisions, and you're not going to like all of them because that's just the nature of the legislative system.
Okay, Vince, you're not going to like all of them, I guess.
Well, the reality is we don't have plenty of money. That is why we are in a budget deficit. And under Republican governors and Republican legislative budgets that have been passed.
So you want new taxes? Deficit.
No, okay. There's plenty of loopholes. Let's go cut out
that's
the loopholes.
That's increasing taxes.
Let's cut out the loopholes. Oh, see, right. There you go. No, they don't want to go after any kind of corporate giveaways.
Any
where people
way you
are
cut
essentially
it,
right. Bleeding
any
our
way you
dry.
Cut it, Vince. Cutting.
See, there you go.
Cutting
not reality-based governing.
Cutting deductions.
We need reality-based
cutting is raising taxes. Cutting deductions that exist are raising taxes.
You have to be able to, John, consider those. If there is no valid
so you're in
to
favor
have
of
one,
raising taxes.
If there's some sort of loophole, absolutely. If there's a loophole, if there's a loophole,
so you
want to
cut
John
the
Munger's
home
law firm,
you want to cut the home mortgage deduction.
If there's a loophole that said John Munger's law firm gets X amount of dollars,
you
want
to cut charitable
deductions. Let me speak here. And if nobody else's business got that, and it was unfair to the taxpayers of Arizona, you want to keep that. I want to say, let's go back and make sure this is fair to the taxpayers
of
Arizona.
On that note, with your summation, thank you, gentlemen, very much. For being with us today. A lively first Monday of the Buckmaster Show of 2015, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Moe can take care of all of your custom frame mirrors and art for your walls. If there's some framing needs, Christmas gifts that need to be framed, there always are. Head over to Moe's. We have General John Wickham standing by on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine. Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Perfection Auto Works wants to know, do you own a Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, or BMW? Does the dealer repair pricing structure offend your wallet? Tired of overpriced repairs at the dealer without the quality and attention you deserve? If so, consider Perfection Auto Works, conveniently located near Speedway and Craycroft. From the major tune-up on your Jetta to the clutch replacement on your Porsche 911, call 323-8650. That's 323-8650. PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show this first Monday of 2015, and the first Monday, really, as we launch into a fifth year here on the Buckmaster Show. Our four-year anniversary was last week, so that means we begin now year number five, and thanks to all of the listeners and supporters of our work here in Southern Arizona. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs is General John Wickham, and we are delighted to have him with us on the show. He was the U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the United States Army. He is now retired in Oro Valley, and he joins us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Happy New Year to you, General Wickham.
Happy New Year, Bill, and congratulations on your wonderful program as you begin now the fifth year of service to the public in such a valuable way.
Thank you very much. The news, well, over the holidays, there was news coming out of Korea about perhaps, General Wickham, meaningful talks between the North and the South. What is your take on that, sir?
Well, one side of it, Bill, as you know from your experience, it could be just mere rhetoric. But I think there's more to it than that. I think that the North Koreans have begun to realize, perhaps because of some things going on in China, there have been some senior Chinese leaders, military as well as civilian, that have objected publicly to North Korean behavior, and that maybe they ought to scale back support. And that troubles the North Koreans. I think the North Koreans also are alarmed about the fact that the United Nations might be considering North Korea behavior as something that should go to the world court for human rights abuses. So I think there's more to it than that. And also the South Korean president, Park Geun-hye, who is the daughter of the former president. My wife Ann and I know her reasonably well, a very capable woman. And she has proposed having talks to solve a lot of the problems with the Koreans. And so the opportunity may be just right for North Korea.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Terry has a question about North Korea for General Wickham. Go ahead, Terry.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, General. General, thank you for your service to our country. It's an honor to speak to you, sir.
Well, it's an honor to hear your questions, Terry. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. basically, Korea has been a situation for 70 years. If you really look at it, I mean, since post-World War II, we fought there, lost some of the heroes there. What do you recommend? It's a problem that keeps emerging. What might be the final situation that we can alleviate it? Similar like to Vietnam. Economically, they're friends now, but North Korea has always been a headache. I'll take your question, your answer off the air, sir.
Excellent question, Terry, and you're exactly on target. North Korea is an enigma, and unfortunately, we have no relations at all. We have talked to them in the past, but those talks are totally in limbo, and that's why I think from the North Korean side, there could be an opportunity here to begin to dialogue with them and begin to talk about some of these serious problems. The North Koreans have at least 6 nuclear weapons. I don't think they'd ever use them, but they do threaten, and they do give them a sense of independence. And we believe they have the makings of at least 6 more, and they could sell some of this stuff to other countries. So nuclear proliferation is a problem in Asia and in the world, and North Korea contributes to that. Now, what should we be doing about it? I think we ought to begin talks. They don't have to be at the highest level, but they can be at whatever level is necessary. I think that the recent Sony difficulties with unfortunate Sony doing a film, humorous as it was, I have not seen it, don't intend to. But why do they have to pick a dictator and name him, Kim Jong-un, and do this comedy about him? We've never done that in the past. I think anyone who would ask someone about what is the Asian attitude towards this would have gotten the answer. The Asians are very sensitive to what we call kibun, or face, and that if you begin to destroy someone's face, you really harm them. There was a recent episode of a Korean airliner that crashed in Gimpo and killed everybody got off of the plane, but the plane started to burn. The pilot refused to get off the plane and died in it because he had lost face. It was his fault that the plane crashed, and he could not face the public or his family by escaping the plane. So the idea that we've done something like that with that film doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's history. What we need to do now is put it behind us. And yes, the North Koreans have been hacking into our corporate activities, and they don't behave very reasonably. But that is no reason why we cannot talk to them. And I think we should begin the talks, whatever it takes to do it. And with the South Korean leadership, I think we have the opportunity to do that.
General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. Terry called the general at 790-2040, and we would welcome your questions or comments. Before we leave the Koreas behind us, would you consider this one of the positive and optimistic sides as we get into 2015 of foreign affairs, General Wickham?
Amen, Bill. I agree. It is optimistic that the fact that the North Koreans have said something like this, Kim Jong-un has said publicly that he is amenable to talking to the South. And the South Korean President Park Geun-hye has said the same thing. So let's get with it. Let's do something that's positive. Let's sit down and do what has to be done to get things going. As I said, it doesn't have to be at the highest level. But unfortunately, we have a tendency in this country, like a lot of countries, to sort of stick our fingers in people's eyes and rub salt into a wound. Let's stop doing that. Let's do what it takes to get talks going. And if it means easing some restrictions, okay, maybe it's worthwhile doing that.
I'll tell you another minefield that we'll be facing in 2015, and I think you would agree with me, General, is the situation with Russia and Ukraine.
That's exactly right. There's history about this that I think important to understand. Russia has traditionally had great concern about Ukraine and particularly Crimea, the part of it, because historically Russia has been searching for a warm water port. They don't have one. They do now, and they have one in the Baltic Sea. And Crimea, to them, was crucial historically. So Ukraine, Crimea being part of it, has been part of Russia historically, back to Catherine the Great when it was unified. And so that's historically why Russia regards it as important to them. And they will work to have Ukraine more oriented towards the east as opposed to the west. Unfortunately, the Ukraine is kind of split. The western part of the Ukraine is oriented towards Russia. The eastern part of the Ukraine oriented more towards Poland and to the Europe. And so they don't speak Russian as much in the eastern side. So they would lean towards NATO and getting involved. Now, there is the danger here is that Ukraine may be pushed into or encouraged to get into NATO. That's, again, sticking the finger in the Russians' eye and forcing the Russians to get very concerned about their own security. George Kennan, the founder of sort of the policy of containment of Russia, a renowned Soviet expert before he died a year or so ago, cautioned the West, do not keep pushing your finger into the Russians' eye. We need Russia to help solve some of the world's crises.
Okay.
And I agree with that.
All right, General, we're going to take our break right here. When we come back, Zach will be up first on the live line. He wants General Wickham's thoughts about Cuba. That's as we continue with the Buckmaster Show right after this.
Remodeling, restoring, or building new additions to your home?
Five Star has termite and pest solutions for you. Treatments to building materials can be performed while tradesmen continue to work. Worried about treatment marks? Don't be. Our treatments will be completed before texture and paint. Five Star will provide landscaping and drainage advice to eliminate moisture and other pest and termite attractions around the home.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control, protecting homes and homeowners since 1980. 886-0045.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this first Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show of 2015, brought to you in part by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. If you've not been there, it is something to see. Great places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila Guesthouses. You can find all the great places to stay and things to do at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Zach has been waiting very patiently. I thank you, Zach, for your patience to speak with General John Wickham on the live line. Go ahead, Zach.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes, General Wickham, I am curious to hear your thoughts on the U.S. softening relations with Cuba. You've served in the military for 40-plus years. You were at the height of the Cold War, so I thought it would be interesting for all of us to hear your perspective and your take on it.
Zach, good question, and it's obviously on the minds of a lot of people and should be in this country. As the short answer, I'm solidly in favor of opening up relations with Cuba. It's not going to be an easy route, and we hear from Raul, the brother of Fidel, who's now running the country, that they're still going to be a communist country. That's not a problem. So is South Vietnam communist, and we have relations with them. So we can have relations with communist countries. The important thing is, what furthers the human rights elements in Cuba, and what furthers the economic opportunities for Cuba as well as the United States. We have rice farmers in the United States that want to export rice, and they're looking for markets. And Cuba is one of the bigger, could be one of the bigger markets for rice, and that would be a big benefit to America. One of my friends is Cuban, and he lives in Connecticut, and he has a very ill mother in Cuba. And he's tried to get money sent to his mother for medical benefits. He's had to go to, believe it or not, he's had to go to Canada every time to send money to her. And I just think that is goofy. And so I think the idea of opening up relations is the right way to go. The Cold War is over. We all know that. It's time for us to move ahead in open ways. And that's back, even back to our early discussion about Korea. The Korean War is over. And we need to open up ways of communication and try to organize. We're better to talk than to fight.
General John Wickham's opinions on Cuba, and we are going around the world today with General Wickham talking about hot spots. The Middle East, certainly, and the turmoil, including Islamic State, is another place we have to keep a very close eye on, General Wickham.
Exactly right, Bill. And Islamic State's not going to go away. Probably not in our lifetime. Its origins are in medieval times. Its origins, believe it or not, grow out of who was closest to Muhammad when he died. And that has been the big divide between the Sunni faction of Islam and the Shia faction of Islam, who is to become the next leader of Islam. And it's a back and forth and back and forth. It was for the first five caliphs, or leaders, of Islam. And now we've got a new caliph, a self-proclaimed caliph, that claims he now is speaking for all Muslims in the world. And so the unfortunate thing is that it's morphed into a ideology that is jihadist in origin and very brutal in mannerism. And coming out of Saudi Arabia, The Saudis, years ago, 100 years ago, made a devil's bargain with the prophet Wahhabi in Saudi Arabia. And the deal was, Wahhabi, if you will help us unify the nation of Saudi Arabia and allow the El Saud family to be monarchs, we will give you control over the education of our children and of our religion. And that's been the deal ever since. Unfortunately, Wahhabism, the official religion of Saudi Arabia, which incidentally authorizes the beheading of human beings, the only country in the world to do that legally, that Wahhabism ideology is the ideology of the Islamic State. And it's not going to go away. We're not going to kill it with a few bombs or a few people on the ground. It's going to take years of effort. It's going to take effort to try to dry up the sources of revenue for the Islamic State. And it's going to take efforts to change the mindset and culture of Middle Eastern countries.
General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. We're going to go back to the Live Line. Eric wants to, again, address a concern about Cuba and opening relations. Go ahead, Eric. You're with General Wickham.
Yeah, hi. Regarding Cuba, I think a lot of people are okay maybe with opening up things with Cuba, but specifically, I think the big issue or worry is what did we get out of it as a nation? I know some people are able to send money back and forth, a small section of benefits of American society, but as a whole, what did we get out of the deal specifically?
Eric, you raise a very fundamental point and a good point to raise because I think it needs to be discussed. Unfortunately, in foreign affairs and foreign policy, and even in defense policy, there has traditionally been the tendency, as you point out, what do we get out of it? It has to be a zero-sum game or a balance. We get equally what we're giving you. I don't think that's a valid philosophy. I think we need to be prepared to do what it takes to move forward. Maybe in the long run, history will judge who gets the deal, who gets the benefit of the deals. But I don't think we should try to do it up front.
General, I think you're right on the money there, and people always, though, wonder, you know, it's a two-way street, and they always wonder, well, what do we get out of it? And I think they ask that question, in really, in regards to all of our foreign affairs, don't they?
And they do, and as Eric said, in business, there tends to be that attitude. What do we get out when labor sits down with management to try to bang out a new deal for labor? They try to see, what are we going to get out of it? And what is management going to get out of it? And yes, they do try to work out a deal that is somewhat sharing in the benefits. But I don't think that if we don't get the exact share, that ought to interfere with trying to move the game forward for the benefit of mankind and for the benefit of global peace and stability. We have to take a longer.
All right, General, we're just about out of time, but American troops now coming home by and large from Afghanistan. We will retain some troops, some boots on the ground. Is that about right, the way you see it?
I think it's about right. We you know, the example of Iraq, where he pulled everything out, although that was caused in part by the Iraqi government failing to give us the status of forces agreement, and we were not going to leave our troops there to be subjected to Iraqi law. And we shouldn't do that in Afghanistan and haven't. The Afghans have given us a status of forces agreement so we can leave our troops there, not subject to Afghan law. We need to leave troops there to help guarantee that the Afghan army does progress ahead. They need help. They don't have an air force yet, and that's going to take years to build that up. They don't have an intelligence service yet. That's going to take time to build that up. So I think we can be helpful. And the president, the new president of Afghanistan, Ghani, has said, he said, we need to rethink, United States, you need to rethink the timetable and not try to pull everything out in 2016. That's good. If they're willing to keep us there and we're willing to stay to benefit stability in that part of the world, we ought to do it.
General Wickham, thank you very much. And I also want to thank all of the callers who I think really enhanced our half an hour with you today with some very, very good questions. General Wickham, I'm sure you would agree.
Oh, very good. You really prime them well. No, it's an illustration of the quality listening group that you have, Bill, on your wonderful program.
Thank you, General Wickham, and the very best to you and your family in this new year, and hope all goes well for you. Thank you
God
very
bless,
much,
Bill.
Sir.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks a lot. General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff, one of the 24 contributors to the Buckmaster Show. We thank them all. Got the full list of them and their bios. You can visit it at buckmastershow.com. A big shout-out as we begin the new year to Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. I've checked out Mike's operation, went over there, got a nice tour of what they do, and I strongly recommend this locally owned Tucson business for all of your automotive needs. You can find them on the web at perfectionautoworks.com. They have a convenient Midtown location, one block south of Speedway at 1046 North Beverly. Happy New Year to Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. And a Happy New Year to all of the Buckmaster Show listeners and supporters. We have more local talk coming up this afternoon. We have talk in the morning, noon, and afternoon. Mike Shaw will be here with 4 Tucson at 4. Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe for the first 2 hours, 6 to 8. Then the Daily Double, Chris DeSimone and a guest host every day from 8 to 9. So we've got a full schedule of local talk. On behalf of Ed Alexander, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.